In all the crazy things happening during 2020, it may be that Robert Gordon's version of the year is especially a standout. As the head of Michigan's Department of Health and Human Services, he's been managing epidemic orders, safety plans for schools, and the many other things that need attention because of the COVID pandemic. Now Washington is calling. He'll be a co-leader on Joe Biden's transition team for the federal Department of Health and Human Services in the new year. We wanted to catch up with him for a few minutes before he literally stops sleeping. Director Gordon, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
I know that you are not able to talk about the work that you'll be doing for Joe Biden's transition team, but I did want to ask, can you tell us why you thought this was an important thing to be doing right now?
Yeah, it was a chance to share our experiences, successes, and challenges in Michigan with the response to COVID, and also to give policymakers in Washington a chance to better understand what states really need right now, including Michigan first and foremost.
It feels like there's not a single aspect of Michigan DHHS's business that has not been affected by the pandemic. Is that true?
That is true, and is a challenge across the entire department.
So what are your top priorities at this stage?
Our highest priority is to encourage all Michiganders to cut back on indoor gatherings. We know that COVID spreads when people gather indoors with people from outside of their families, even friends, even loved ones. And on Sunday night, we issued an order that closed public settings where folks gather indoors. But just as important beyond the order is that each of us individually make a decision, even in our own homes, to cut back on those indoor gatherings outside the family. If we can all do that, it will be the most important thing to bring COVID back under control.
DHHS stepped in after Governor Whitmer's initial lockdown orders were challenged in court, and your department has been the engine that has been issuing guidance and, in some cases, outright rules for things like how people can congregate, how business can be done. I haven't been aware of any legal challenges, but has there been anything going on? Has the department met any legal resistance to its rules and guidance at this point?
Yeah, there's some lawsuits making their way through the courts. We are acting under a legal authority that the Michigan legislature gave to the governor years ago after the Spanish flu. And the kinds of actions we are taking are the kinds of actions that public health departments have taken for decades in response to public health challenges like epidemics. Epidemics are not new, and responses like this are not new.
How would you rate, generally speaking, Michigan's level of compliance among businesses and private citizens? We hear a lot about people who resist these rules, but what would you say is the general picture of whether Michiganders are complying?
I think we had incredible compliance in the spring, and it is the central reason that Michigan brought infections and deaths down to a greater degree, I believe, than any other state. I think as time has gone on, it has been more challenging here, as it's been more challenging everywhere. Everyone is exhausted, I will tell you, as you said. I personally and my family and my kids are exhausted. But this is like a five-alarm fire for our state. Each of us personally has a chance to save lives. We have a chance to be like that fireman or firefighter who goes into the building and through our actions to save literally thousands of lives. It is not an exaggeration what the stakes are right now. So we are really asking everyone to step up.
Yeah. You mentioned the exhaustion and the fact that even your family is not immune to this. What are you telling your kids about sticking it out at this time?
I'm telling them to be forgiving of themselves, to be forgiving of me as a dad. I'm being a little more easygoing about Fortnite than I would be normally. And I'm telling them that this will end and we will get to the other side. And I think that they are learning about perseverance and contribution and sacrifice in ways that I think will help them, much as they are suffering and we are all suffering now, will help them be better, stronger people in the long run.
Director Gordon, we're at a stage right now where both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are hoping to get in front of federal regulators for approval and maybe get some doses out by the end of the year. At least one of these vaccines is going to be made in Michigan. Do you know what the distribution is going to be like and who might be first in line, whether Michigan's going to have a shot at some of those doses?
Yeah, we are working incredibly hard under Dr. Khaldun on a distribution plan for vaccines. It's going to need to be quite complicated. And in the end, we're going to need to make sure to get those vaccines out to the front lines in every part of the state, make sure that all communities are served. And to begin with, make sure that folks on the front lines who are at greatest risk, particularly healthcare workers, get those vaccines so that they can do their work safely.
Mm-hmm. Would you expect that places like assisted living and schools would be prioritized next before the public got doses? Or, I mean, we understand that the front line has to be healthcare workers, but who else is in the top tiers?
Yes, we of course worry immensely about the individuals who are most vulnerable, and those in particular are older individuals or individuals with medical conditions who are in congregate care settings. That has been a focus from the beginning, and getting vaccines to those kinds of people will be a focus going forward.
What can you tell us about Michigan's access to testing?
Michigan has done really well on access to testing. We have, I believe, currently more than 50,000 tests a day in Michigan. We are in the top 5 states nationally per capita. It was not like that initially. We had to work very hard to get testing up, and we did. And it was a team effort, not just the state, but hospitals, universities, community health centers around the state, working together with faith-based leaders, with local doctors' offices, with urgent cares, with pharmacies. We have really expanded greatly access to testing. We continue to have a challenge with turnaround times, but you know, that is something where we are actually, compared to a lot of states, doing relatively well.
Are there other aspects of DHHS's business, maybe what's going on in Michigan's hospitals, that are still keeping you awake at night?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that keep me awake at night. Contact tracing is really struggling right now because of the number of cases. We are working hard to prioritize the cases that matter most. I guess one thing I want to say is the work that local public health departments are doing and the work that department staff are doing right now is just extraordinary. There are hundreds or thousands of people across Michigan. You don't know their names. They are working around the clock and saving lives. And I personally just feel enormous honor and sense of respect as I work alongside all of those folks.
We get the sense, talking to especially health departments, maybe in the UP or smaller towns, that mandates and rules carry a bit less weight than they might in places like Detroit or Oakland County or Grand Rapids or Ann Arbor. Are there ways in which DHHS has modified its messaging as well?
Yeah, I think we want to speak to people in language that resonates with them. We have changed our communications. For example, we did a public service announcement not long ago where the featured speakers were all veterans, and they were all putting on masks with American flags on them, and they were talking about how this was a form of service, just like the service thing, not just like, but it was a form of service to our country and to their community. And I personally deeply believe that. I will say, when it comes to the question of requirements, there's a lot of evidence on this at this point. If you look at places in the United States or elsewhere that have not responded with public action, they have not been able to get the virus under control. And you're seeing that in states right now, and it is tragic. And if you look at Western Europe, where they had growth very similar to ours, those countries responded much as Michigan did, Governor Whitmer did on Sunday night, not with a lockdown, but with targeted and temporary measures. And those states, those countries have seen a turn. It's not to say it's over, but they have seen a turn. And because of what they did, they are closer to being able to reopen safely, as opposed to feeling that they are in an endless dark tunnel. So it's getting out of that tunnel is the reason that we are doing what we're doing.
You know, at the same time, there are people in many places in Michigan who have lost loved ones to COVID and who are dealing with all the realities of the disease in this year, who look at the public face of Michigan's response, and they're very frustrated. And they can't understand, you know, they can't understand why there isn't some sort of mandate or whether there's some way that they can get through to people. How do you hold the two realities of Michigan's COVID experience in your head at the same time?
It's a really hard question. I think we obviously try to remember. I'm someone who thinks and talks a lot in terms of numbers, but I try always to remember that behind every number is a name and a human being. Every lost life was a unique life. It was a sacred life. It was someone's loved one. And in our everyday work outside of times like this, we think of ourselves. And in our everyday lives, not just as the health department, but all of us, we would say if we had the opportunity to save one life, that would be an extraordinary privilege and responsibility. And we are at a moment when we as a society have an opportunity to save thousands of lives. And so to think of both the opportunity and responsibility that that entails is a very great burden, but it also is inspiring because it is a moment when we all can act and we all can make an incredible difference. And so I try to focus on that every day, and I hope that all of us will.
Robert Gordon is director of Michigan's Department of Health and Human Services. Director Gordon, thank you.
Thanks for having me.